How is this weather? Nice? Little breeze. You guys are relaxing, getting ready for the fall. You notice the leaves in the back is changing colors. If you're up north, that's all you're going to get. Palm trees is turning green. turning brown for a couple of minutes there. And those palm trees in the back there, it's turning brown, not because of the fall either. It's because I've been neglecting to water it every single day. I looked out this morning, I said, oh man, I haven't watered that for like 2 weeks. So it's turning, but that's your fall right there. That's our fall decoration for you. But certainly excited to come around this season, and I know we're approaching a really hard season for some of you. So I hope this series, Gratitude, has helped you in how to approach the season. So by January, you're not out of your minds or out of friends or out of money. So we have heard people say, I need to have an attitude of what? Gratitude, right? I need to have an attitude of gratitude, or we ourselves have said that to ourselves, right? Sometimes we get a little spoiled, we get a little too comfortable, and then we are pulled back, and we said, I need to have an attitude of gratitude. And sometimes we say that to our children. How many of you guys have children in this room? Yeah. Don't you sometimes yell or whisper to them? Doesn't matter how old they are, right? Doesn't matter if they're 30, they're 20, they're 10, they're 5. We shout to them or quietly whisper, you need to have what? An attitude of gratitude. And sometimes we just wish the world would have the attitude of gratitude. And we hear that all the time. But the problem is when we say that, when we say you need to have an attitude of gratitude, we're referring to a what? A feeling. Like you need to feel, or you need to have some kind of internal change, the attitude of gratitude. But we all know how feelings are. Feelings come and what? Go. We might have an attitude of gratitude for a moment, but you know how that goes. We go right back to where we were when we get too comfortable, or when our loved one or our own children disappoints us, or, you know, like sometimes when you put something really nice on the tables, mom knows this feelings more than anything, right? You put something on the table and they simply what? We don't want it. Or, ew, we want something else. That hurts you more than anything. You want it. That feelings of gratitude is gone. Or we ourselves, when the waves of greed or selfishness hurt, disappointment, the whole process of fixing our minds on the attitude of gratitude starts all over again. All over again. And so the past 4 weeks, today we're going to close this series on attitude of gratitude. We talked about how the world might take away your smile for a moment, but it doesn't have to take away your worship. And we talked about how if Jesus, the scripture, is at the forefront of our actions, then our attitude, it's emulating what Jesus is doing. And that's the attitude of gratitude. And Paul sums up gratitude this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. You've heard this enough and you read this enough in the last four Sundays or three Sundays. Today's the fourth. Read it with me. Do not what? Be anxious about anything. In your bulletin, there is a little bookmark. It says, be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, by prayer and what? Come on. Entertain me for a second here. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the what? The peace of God. Not your peace, not the peace of your children eating the vegetables that you put on the table that you wish them so much to eat it. Not their peace, not the peace at the mall, not the peace of your friends, not the peace of your family members. No one's peace, but only what? The peace of God. Because the reason you did it, it wasn't for them in the first place. The reason you did it, because your heart is full of God. So it said, the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard whose heart? Your heart, not their heart. Doesn't matter how nice you do to people, they can still hurt you. And you can still be disappointed, but the peace of God that guards your whose heart? Your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your attention. You're watching this at home. Please pay attention. The guy who wrote this, well, his name was Paul, and he wrote it to the Philippians church, and you learned this the last couple of sermons, what's going on there, and the persecution was happening, and the conflict, and how important it was that you're on the inside of this community, or else you can lose your home, you can lose your job, you can lose your business. But Paul, who wrote this to the Philippians, this is what he went through to put these words on paper. Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. By the way, when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in jail for the second time. Been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. You seen the movie Passion of the Christ back, come out roughly 10 years ago. You seen the scene where Jesus was being flogged, right? And how gruesome that was. Paul received that 5 times. Get that mental picture for a second. And been exposed to death again. And 5 times I received from the Jews, the 40 lashes minus one from his own people. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. And these are not like little itty bitty stones that the kids throw around in the yard. These are not like, you know, don't do that. It's not that kind of stuff. These are huge boulders. They rolled in his direction, hoping it would crush them. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I know what it's like to be shipwrecked, and it's like this. I got sea tow, right? Called them a couple times, but this is not the same shipwreck as our shipwreck here. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. That means he's in danger with his own people and the people that he's trying to help. In danger with the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. You think our lives is tough in being a Christian. You know, like, we think having a bad day here in America as a Christian, it's persecution, right? Oh, I'm suffering for the Lord, right? When you read this, you're like, my Christian walk is pretty smooth sailing. I have labor and toil and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches. Paul's gratitude, it's not a feeling or an emotion, but it's an action. It's something that he's showing to us what it meant to be saved by Jesus Christ. Paul is putting into words what it meant for him as he reads Psalm 23. For I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil because you are with me. That's what it means for, Paul is when the blood flowing down from the cross and the resurrection happened and he believed in Jesus, this is what it meant for him. That he's willing to go the distance, that his gratitude is the overflowing of kindness motivated by Christ in him. The attitude of gratitude for us responding to the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. What you read here, it's not the mistakes they make at your Starbucks drinks, but the overflowing of kindness motivated by Jesus Christ that's inside all of us. This is not natural for us. Because of the sins of the world, because of the sinful nature we're living in, we are generally, people are what? Selfish. We're generally selfish people. This is not natural for us. We give when there's leftovers. right? Or whatever we don't need anymore. We give someone a ride if we're on the way. If we're not on the way, sorry, I can't. I'm not going that way. Well, you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting at home. But I can't because I'm not going that way. We volunteer when it's convenient, or we agree to help when it's pressure or feel obligated. We give an attitude when we don't get what we really want. Sometimes for our birthdays. Whew. And especially this time of the year. We get angry. When you leave here today, you're going to drive down Glades Row or your motto or I-95. You will get what? Cut off. Someone will merge into your lane as you're trying to get home. We get angry at a simple traffic stop or a traffic jam or someone cut us off. We only express kindness when it's convenient for us, when the day is going well. And you know what happens when we do something kind to somebody with this social media thing? Every time we do something kind to somebody, what do? We have to post it. We have to let everyone know that we're doing kindness. We're being kind to somebody. It just showed me that's how rare it is that you're being kind, because I scroll through your Facebook timeline. You haven't posted anything for like 2 months. It took you 2 months to do something nice to somebody. I'm messing with you all. I'm being facetious, but you get the idea. We want the world to know when we're being kind because it's rare. It's hard for us. And then we don't get the comments or the likes that we expected to, right? You post something, and like a couple hours later, no one liked it. You're like, oh, man, that was a waste of a post. Paul gave us a very helpful illustration and what it means for him to this overflowing of gratitude motivated by Jesus Christ. Flip back with me to Philippians, one page earlier, chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationship with one another, this is as practical as it gets, right? I mean, everything is in here in the scripture. Just pick it up and read it sometimes. This is as practical as it gets. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in every nature God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's not in your notes on that, but I figure I just want to read the rest to you. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is extremely inconvenient for Jesus when it comes to our personal responsibility, when it comes to how we're supposed to treat one another, how we're supposed to live from the month of November, December, and January, is that we are to express the same attitude that Jesus Christ expressed to us, who was in every nature God. He didn't use his position to his advantage. You know how simple it would have been for Jesus just to come down and stand in front of you and just like, see ya. He didn't make us worship him. He actually invited us to worship him. He didn't steer us in some directions that would lead us into danger. He actually says, come follow me. He didn't turn up his nose at us and treat us like we're an inconvenient. or we're not good enough for his help. He didn't call us names, but he willingly made himself a servant to serve us. Even death on the cross. We don't deserve this type of treatment from him. And yet we rejected him, we spat on him, we saying, "Oh, who are you? Why would we? I'm really enjoying this right now." But yet he saved us while we're still sinners. And when we look at Paul's life and compare it to our life as a Christian, do we express the overflowing kindness motivated by Christ Jesus in us? You're going to leave here today. You're going to drive down I-95, Yamato, or Glades Road. And someone is going to what? Cut you off. This time will be different. Come on in. Come on. I have nowhere to go anyways. Sure. You got somewhere to be. I'm sure wherever you're going is really important. Come on in. And we tap on our brakes and we slow down, let them in. Come on. You have an out-of-town plate anyways. You probably can't even drive. So come on in. You don't say that to me. You have a New York plate anyways. You're public transportation. This is probably your first time driving in Florida. Come on. I'm a Christian and you have a Pennsylvania plate. Come on in. Anyone remember this? WWJD. Remember that? What is that? What would Jesus do? This was back in the early 90s. I was in the sixth grade, by the way. Wow for you or wow for me? WWJD. I was in the sixth grade. The acronym is that, what would Jesus do? Way back in the 90s, what would Jesus do? The intent of this, it was a huge marketing push, was to help Christians spread the good news. If someone ever asked, what is that? What would Jesus do? What we missed out was that was supposed to be for Christian. What would Jesus do right now in this situation that you're in? Your attitude, your behavior, your selfishness, how you treat people. What would Jesus do? And it's supposed to serve as a constant reminder for us not to ruin or jeopardize our witness. And somehow we turn into some fashion or some cool bracelet and completely forgetting what is supposed to intent for. But what if we practice gratitude the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the scripture? What if we let the scripture penetrate our hearts and God's word somehow becomes alive in us, and we literally take this and we practice it and we approach this verse differently as we close it out today? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What if we approach this verse a little different this season instead of just breezing through it? But what if we literally take this and let it become alive in our lives? I don't need to be anxious because I know Jesus can sympathize with what I'm going through. I'm leaving up to God because he knows what the future holds. And he knows what's best for me. I'm at peace because I trust in God's timing. Even though sometimes it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't have to please him, her, or them because I know I'm pleasing God. I want my behavior to reflect the heart of Jesus so that you might get to know who this Jesus is that I'm serving, that I'm worshiping, that it's in here. Gratitude is not something we just hold inside. Gratitude is not something that we just say, I need to have an attitude of gratitude. It's not a feeling, because feelings will come and go and will disappoint us. But gratitude is the overflowing kindness that is motivated by Christ Jesus in us. Look back at chapter 2, Philippians again. Let's read that. In your relationship to one another, a lot of us will hear sermons on how Jesus emptied himself. But the context that Paul wants us to reflect is, he says, in your relationship to one another. He said, you want to behave like a Christian? You want to behave like Jesus? You need to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. What is the mindset of Jesus Christ? The mindset of Jesus Christ is in here. So he says, who being in every nature with God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage? Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Do we know how inconvenient this is for Jesus? Let me tell you how I became a Christian. This is a family. When I was in 9th grade, I got to know this family. I was over their house for dinner all the time. Sometimes I went over to their house without even invitation. I just walked through the back door. I went on vacation with them. I went out to lunch with them after church all the time. Everywhere they went, they would invite me to go with them. Or sometimes I just went because we got so used to it. We're like families now. And we still talk to them. We talk all the time. Almost every week, actually, still today. And they brought me to church, and I sat right there. Recently, just this past year, our children are beginning to have friends. So their friends come over all the time, the neighborhood kids. They're always at the front door. They open a garage door, they take out the Nerf guns, and they start playing, and they run, and they make a yard a mess. Not that my kids doesn't make our yard a mess, but now we have neighbors' kids making a yard a mess, the whole thing. And it's extremely inconvenient to us. Because sometimes you want to get things done, and you can't, because now you got to be outside and watch the kids. And then it dawned on me. I was like, so I called my friend who, Jay Tracy, who brought me to church and sat here, and I went everywhere with them. I went Thanksgiving. I went Christmas. They got me presents for Christmas. All these things. I called her not too long ago, this year. I said, I just want to thank you. Because I now just realize how inconvenient it was for you that I was around all the time. And her answer was, you turn out to be okay. You turn out to be okay. It's extremely, I want to keep encouraging you guys to keep opening your doors, to let them play in your front yard. Let them swing on that tire, whatever you got. Let people ride in your car out of your way. $5 might mean something more to somebody. Even though you might need it, it might hurt a little bit. Jesus left heaven. This was extremely inconvenient. His position went from here to here. His life was completely turned upside down. He went out of his way. Even gave up his life on the cross.
And as we reflect on this, as we close out this series, as Christians, we have this message in our hearts. And we have the Holy Spirit inside us. But the honest truth is it doesn't mean anything to the world if we don't let that attitude of gratitude becomes an action. It becomes the overflowing of kindness so that the world may experience the love of Jesus Christ. You know what? What if we all inconveniently went out of our way, goes out of our way to express kindness this season? What if we inconveniently go out of our way to serve someone? Carve out time to help. Not only when we're free, but when we don't have time and we say, no, I got an hour to serve. Let me go help you. What did we give? Not because we have a tons left over or after the Christmas present, or let's see what I got left. But we give because of our commitment to God. And because how much God has given us. This Proverbs speaks to me. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes other will be refreshed. It's amazing how Proverbs is teaching us is that when we give, it's really not about us. It's about God. And what God will do to us if we're generous. And here, you should take this nugget of truth of Proverbs 19:17. It's also in your note. Whoever is kind to the poor lends the Lord. And he will reward them for what they have done. This concept of kindness, when we are kind to people, when we give to people, when we give not out of necessity, but out of sacrifice, when we go out of our way, it's like we're putting a little nugget of deposit to God that we lend to the Lord, and God will return what we have given or how we have shown kindness. God will return that to us. So essentially, when we give, when we're kind, God remembers. It's like this, I don't know how he does it. Does he have a book and a little marking? Or does he put in these jars of, oh, look at you doing some kindness. I don't know how he does it, but he will return that kindness to you. This is the peace that surpasses understanding. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know how God is going to do it. And I don't expect him to do it. But I'm going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on giving because I know God knows. And that's all that matters. In the past 4 weeks, we kind of walked you through my wife and I's life a little bit, through the toughest time of our lives. And if you miss it, go back and listen to it. You know, it's hard to make each sermon stand alone because, you know, it add on to each other. So you miss it, you know, go back and listen to it on YouTube. But when Liz and I were in the lowest point of our lives, we never really stopped giving. We always gave to the church. We always support those who are in need. When we couldn't make payments on our mortgage, we had two different people stay at our house for free because they needed a place to sleep. And I'm not sharing this to put me in a pedestal. I just want to share you a personal experience as I walk you through this. So we never really stopped giving. Our door was always open. If people needed a place to stay, sure, come on over. However long they needed to get their life back together. Our car was never really just for us. Our car was for whoever in need as well. Sure, we'll give you a ride. Sure, you can use it. Last week we moved into an apartment. And and Ari was on the way. We were down to one car. It was a Ford Escape. So we're in desperate need of a third row minivan to accommodate all of the Nugents. No money. Made just enough to pay rent. No money in the bank. Christmas comes around. And I said to the Lord, I said, God, wouldn't it be great to surprise Liz with the minivan for Christmas? Oh, Lord, wouldn't that be great? I got a phone call from a friend of mine. He says, "New, meet in the parking lot. Meet me in the parking lot of Home Depot on Linton at 995. I'm like, "Why am I meeting you in the parking lot of Home Depot on Linton at 995? So I went to meet him. He handed me an envelope. $5,000 cash. It was the exact number that a friend of mine was selling their minivan, but they're not selling it to us. They're just saying, you can take over the payment because this is all we owe on it. And you can have the van because we don't need it anymore." It was on December the 20th, 5 days before Christmas. So I clean it up really nice, you know, got a detail and left it at my friend's house. Liz has no idea. She's pregnant, walking up and down the stairs, you know, just struggling. She's a great woman, isn't she? Yeah. Yeah, the past 3 weeks you've been hearing stories about Liz and I and our family. I know you're looking at me and you're like, what the heck is she doing with him? But there's a good ending to this family, Nugent family story. Christmas comes around. I said, let's go for a walk. We walk downstairs. Used minivan with Liz's name on it on Christmas Day. And I'm convinced, I'm not saying it's going to happen to all of you. And this is not a health and wealth gospel. And like, hey, you give, God's going to give back to you. So everyone drop your money in the you know, boxes on your way out today and online, all that stuff. We do have those, but that's not the point of the sermon. Did I say I need a new boat? Did I say that? No. God remembers how you live your life. God remembers how generous. God remembers the way you treat his people. That's the point of this. God remembers how you manage and handle the things that he has given to you. And so the whole idea of Paul to the church in Philippi, he says, don't be anxious about anything because God knows and God will. And last week I says we can because he won't. It's because we can move forward because he won't stop remembering you. Amen. Sometimes we completely missed out on the purpose of a Christian life as we read this. Why did we let this become a part of our lives and it's just overflowing with kindness this holiday season? As the band come forward, I share this story every year around this time of the year because I want you to know how grateful I am. Liz was walking down the apartment and there were beer bottles at the bottom. And at that moment, we knew. The third kid is on the way. We were living in a two-bedroom apartment upstairs. We were walking down, and there were beer bottles on the bottom of the stairwell. We knew it was time to move. Not only do we need more room, but we can't let our kids be around that at such a young age. We always drive around this neighborhood that we love and say, one day we're going to live there. And some of you might have heard the story before, because I share the story every year during this time of the year, because I want you to know God remembers. We always dedicated our home to the Lord, the same way David Benton shared his sermon not too long ago, where you bought this house in Delray. It's for the Lord. And you go over the Benton's house. It's always filled with chickens and animals, right? Those chickens lay eggs in your backyard now soon. We always want to dedicate our lives to the Lord, what we have to the Lord. No money in the bank. I mean zero. Liz found a house on Dixie Highway. The driveway was to Dixie Highway. We wanted to be in this area because we love it here. But that didn't make any sense, because now our children will be walking out of the house and they're right on Dixie Highway. But that was the best we can find. So on the day that we were meeting the realtor, we went over to Dixie Highway. We're getting ready to meet her. Liz got a text that she was running late. It's like, okay, let's go to our neighborhood that we love. So we went to the neighborhood that we love, and we drove around that neighborhood. There's a guy working on the house, and he put a sign out front for sale by owner. So I stopped the car and I said, is this house for sale? He said, yeah, someone owns it. She's in Georgia. She doesn't live here, but I'm flipping it for her. And I said, well, how much she wants for it? $368. I said, can I have her phone number? She gave me her personal cell phone. So I called her and I said, I see that you're having a fixer-upper. You mind selling your house to us? And she goes, yeah, $368. I said, how about 318? I don't know why I came up with 318, but that's the number that I came up with. How about 318? She said, you crazy. This is a mile to the beach. I said, 318 is all I can afford. Now, I have no money in the bank. Went home. The realtor showed us the house on Dixie Highway. We knew if we have to, but we knew that this house that we just found, it's going to be our house. If you're looking for a house, this is what you need to do for the price that you want. You take a picture of your family, you put it in the living room, and you said, look how cute my family is in this house. So the realtor called me. She goes, well, the lady who owned the house, she goes, no one ever done this before. You can have it for $318. That was on a Wednesday. Now, how am I going to pay for it? She accepted the offer for $318. How am I going to pay for that? Our house is always filled with people and welcoming people. Whatever people need, they can come to our house. And I think God remembers that. Because 5 years earlier, I took a gentleman out to lunch and I said, one day I'm going to need your help. So I called him. I said, remember 5 years ago when I took you out to lunch? I said, one day I need your help. Today is the day. He drove by, saw the house. Thursday, Friday, Saturday we close. Sunday night we moved all of our stuff into the house and left it the way it is. And we went on vacation to that cabin. Remember I told you last week the lady gave it to us for free? You see how all my stories are coming together? And we left for vacation. Because whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. And I'm not sharing that to you to put us on the pedestal or to tell you that if you give, God's going to give you back. I'm not saying that. But what I do want to encourage you is that God remembers how you manage, how you treat his children, his people, and how you manage what he has given you to manage. And we are entering some of the most difficult time, but also the most meaningful holidays of the year. What's going to go through your mind is worries and anxiety or finances. Can I afford it? Can I buy this? Do the kids need this? Do I need to pick up extra shifts? Holiday activities, in-laws, loneliness, missing loved ones. And Sean, I'm sure this holiday season will be a little difficult. But what if we approach this season not with stress and anxiety, but with the quality of being grateful and thankful, ready to be overflowing with kindness that is motivated by Jesus Christ in us. As we close out our service today, I'm going to ask you to stand as I read Philippians chapter 4. Maybe this be your prayers. Maybe this is your life. May the scripture ooze out of you where the Holy Spirit speaks and lead and guide you to make it through November and December. Chapter 4, verse 4, for the last time. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. Father, the gospel requires us to respond. Not just to make us feel good, but to show us how we ought to live. So, Father, as we leave here today, may we change so the world will see you. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. We do this every Sunday. By way of invitation, if you just want some prayers, our elders will be up here to pray with you to make it through this season. Or life has been tough on you for a little bit. Our elders will be up here to pray with you as well. But also, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and want to get baptized, we have a baptistry right behind us. Change your clothes. We're all ready to go. But don't leave here today without making a decision for Jesus. Because that's the point of the gospel. So by way of invitation through this song, I ask you to move forward if you have prayer requests or decision to make.